two. The other out of timeouts.
Down by two. 1:43 left.
Down two. Gets a shot off.
Down by two.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, wherever you are in this crazy place that we call Earth. This is your host, Josh Elijah, for the Down by Two podcast. And with my co-host to my left, or to my right, Jesse McKay, a.k.a. also known as Birdman. Yep. Burr. How's it going, buddy?
Good. I feel like you're a little rusty on the intro, because I crushed it the last time.
Oh yeah, sure. You did. You crushed it. Yeah, man. It's been a minute. We haven't done an episode in a couple of weeks because we were too busy over at the Grey Cup in the heart of the Hammer, where I got a cool little ladder cup.
Nice to see you using it.
Yeah.
I haven't used mine yet.
Keeps me hydrated throughout the day here at the office.
You wear that warm toque yet, or what? A warm head tarp?
The toque. It was yeah, I did it when I was raking some leaves. Pretty good for raking some leaves in the middle of autumn. Yeah, man. What a crazy experience that was, as the Montreal Alouettes beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers against the spread. Everyone's going Blue Bombers. A lot of Blue Bomber fans there, but then every other CFL fan that was there from any other team, they were all going for the Alouettes. So it was an incredible game, an incredible experience, and good to be back doing the show with you.
Yeah, that's got to be like the best game we could have gone to, honestly. Like everything unfolded and like all the hype going into it for Winnipeg, like it just felt like it was kind of a done deal, and the way it ended, it was just like shocking almost.
Yeah, no, it was and like by the end of it, it was just a final play towards the end of the game, and Bombers could not come back, and it was, man, like it was almost just sort of like shock throughout the stadium as well. It's like, oh man, Montreal actually pulled it off. So crazy, just partying with the players as well, and being able to chat with them before and after the game, all the coverage that we did. Thank you to the CFL for the media credentials and for giving that to us, and can't wait to punch your ticket next year as they have it in BC. So we'll be going out west for that. Really cool experience. The end of the Canadian Football League season, end of the Argo season as well. And that means that we are fully ramped up for the NBA. So this episode, talking about our Raptors, it's been a minute. We're coming back to the Raps because we got, speaking of media coverage, we're also going to be down at Scotiabank Arena this weekend covering the Raptors 905, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
First and foremost, this just came in through the pipe very, very recently. So very stoked to have that opportunity. It's going to give us the opportunity to kind of get a good feel of what it's like to do media for the NBA, even though it's the G League, as we're heading down to Orlando as well, where we're going to be able to get our feet wet when it comes to that. Just really have a chance to talk to some amazing talent as well, and get to meet the coaches. Very, very excited for that this weekend. But first, let's talk a little bit about our Raptors and where we're at right now. Yesterday, they were able to knock off the Phoenix Suns after they had a 7-game win streak. But before that, they fell to the hands of the Brooklyn Nets in the in-season tournament, playing that game in Brooklyn. What are your thoughts on the Raptors? I mean, it seems like they're pretty Jekyll and Hyde right now. Like, it reminds me a lot of what we've seen last year as well.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Where it's just like, great, you can't put together more than two wins at a time or two losses at a time, and you just kind of stay 500 with, you know, just very mid at this point. What are your thoughts? What are you feeling?
Oh, super mid. But like, I don't know, what can you expect? They didn't really upgrade in the offseason. If anything, they downgraded. So the fact that we're even at this point is kind of surprising. Like, it's been a pretty good season in my opinion because of that, right? Like, and I think the main focus, like we were talking about earlier, was like you know, let's just see the development of Scotty Barnes. Let's see the development of, you know, some of these younger guys like Precious and Gary Trent and possibly Grady Dick. But I've seen some good steps forward, but I don't think this is the year where they take a step forward in the standings and make the playoffs. Like, I think that was kind of what we had to go into this year kind of expecting, you know?
Well, you look at some of these teams as well when it comes to the Indiana Pacers that are playing incredibly off. Like, they're doing amazing.
And Tyrese Halliburton is
him.
He is him. He might have like one of the best basketball IQs in the game.
That's
like,
what they're saying. It's very, very exciting. The highest offense, highest ranked offense in the league as well. Our Orlando Magic as well. We're very excited.
Hell
to
yeah.
Bring him. Man, dude, coming off the hottest start since 2011. We're talking Dwight Howard days.
Pat Bev who?
You're right.
like hello?
Off. Yeah. Come on, man. Like, I want to revisit that common thread that I started back there and see what everyone's thinking, because I got roasted online for being like, man, watch out for these Magic.
Yeah.
So I gotta go back and revisit that. But let's not digress. We're very excited to be getting into some Magic coverage that will be coming in the next couple of weeks as well. But our Raptors, and you hit the nail on the head. We want to see the progression from some of these players. Want to see, you know, Darko, who to me, I'm still not 100% sold on. He seems to me a lot like, and this is, I've heard this around a lot of, you know, just a lot of people that follow the Raptors and even fans as well, is that he's got that Ted Lasso sort of feel to him. And he's just sort of more of a cheerleader as opposed to, you know, an actual coach, which is like great if you're developing players, but like you have a whole team here now. And so it's just, it's I don't know. I'm not 100% sold on him yet. I like him. Don't get me wrong. He's a bit quirky for my liking. That's something that I don't really look for in a head coach. Is just, I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to talk to him and meet him and suss it out for ourselves, because we're going to have that opportunity to do that in Orlando. I mean, for Darko, I just want to see the development with them, you know, the players that you mentioned. But specifically, Birdman, you brought up Grady Dick. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, just right here, I'll just throw it out there. Do you think Grady Dick is a bust?
No, it's too early. It's been like a month or two. You know what I mean? Like, can't make that kind of judgment call this early. There's no way.
So when it comes to the rookie race right now, I mean, it's Chet and
Wendy. Oh, I wouldn't even, that's not even a thought.
It's between those two. But you look at players like Scoot Henderson and Grady Dick, they are getting eaten up by this league, and they're just not being able to perform quite the way that they should potentially at this point. I mean, like Anthony Black over on the Magic is looking like he's
such a good role player, and it's his rookie year, you know. It's really cool.
From what I've read online is that Raptors fans are concerned because our boy Grady has been sent down to the G League. So, so we may have the opportunity to cover him this weekend and be able to, you know, may potentially ask him some questions. We'll see if he's when it comes to two ways. I mean, there could be an injury that pops up that, you know, requires him to be back on the Raptors roster, as they have two games against the Knicks this weekend, one at home and the one away. So he may have to just fill some of those end bench spots, but are you concerned at all? Because when he goes down, he went down the G League for at least a couple games, and the first of which he put up a staggering 2 points off of 0-for-6 shooting from behind the arc, and he looked completely disengaged. He looked like he didn't want to be there, and it was a little bit sort of like, you think you're a bit better than going down to the G League right now? Because there are some skills that you need to work on potentially. I don't mean to be harsh on him, but this is something that you need to be able to embrace. So, like, are you worried? And is that kind of the behavior that's going to lead to a bust? You know?
The only thing I would say to that is, like, the fundamentals of, like, why the Raptors drafted him was for the shooting. And you can fix that. You can fix all that. That's, like, that's just body mechanics. You know what I mean? So if he's just out of rhythm right now, or is like not engaged in the play. Those are things you can fix. I'd be more worried if like the talent level wasn't there, or like his ability to read the plays, you know, like stuff like that is really hard to teach, because some people are just kind of born with the ability to read the game a different way, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it's just too early to make a judgment call on that aspect. So sending him down is like not the end of the world to me, because it's like, okay, clearly he's just not getting the reps he needs in the NBA to improve the shooting mechanics and things like that, right? So I don't know how many minutes he's getting in the G League right now. I haven't really been paying attention. So
a lot, yeah.
Hopefully it's just something that improves with more reps, you know?
When it comes to, so I'm not saying because he's been sent down to the G League is a bust, and you don't have to look any further
than Pascal
Siakam or Fred VanVleet or even our boy Malachi Flynn, right? Like these are players that have been sent down to the G League to work on their fundamentals.
I'm looking at it as like he's getting more opportunity to work, you know,
yes.
instead of just kind of wasting away on the bench in the NBA, because you're not really improving that way.
What scares me, though, is when he puts forth that effort of just being like disengaged and not wanting to be being like, I belong in the NBA right now. And because that's what the sense that I got from that one G League game. And I mean, I could be completely wrong, because he did come back and put up 22 points after. So potentially that's just the kind of attitude that does concern me a little bit, because when you're, you know, if you're just like, I'm better than this, I should be in the NBA, but like, man, you haven't been able to keep pace in the NBA at all. Like, I don't know, watching him just ISO on him and watch the way he operates, it seems like he's a couple steps behind, because it is just so much faster pace in the NBA. So I mean, like, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the G League for, you know, the month of December, especially when we get to go cover another game later this month. But I mean, like, yeah, I would like to see some of that, because look what it did for players like Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. Like, that's why Masai went it out, and he wanted to build out the G League team. So
I think this might just be like a very like quick reminder that like, hey, you know, just because you came in on draft day with your flashy red suit and your,
right.
you know, your Drake shout outs and your like this and that, like your
like that goes to your attitude. Head real quick, like,
buddy.
How can it not?
You're getting humbled real quick by, you know, 95% of the league that's better than you right now.
And yes,
I think this is just part of the growing pains, honestly.
So
before
anyone sounds off in the comments and starts calling me out, like I don't care. Like I'm not saying that he's a bust. Okay. It's just, I'd like to see a little bit more of a change of attitude. Cause yes, like right at the very beginning of like, before he even played a single NBA game, he it went to his head. It must have. How could it not? It would go to anybody's head. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, your name is Grady Dick and you're in a Drake music video and you come in wearing the ruby red suit. Like, come on. Yeah. How could you not? Right. So take the G League for what it is and make sure that, you know, you benefit from it and listen. I mean, I guess it isn't all exciting right now because the Raptors are actually winless. This season, the Raptors 905, they are 0-8, not a good start, as they're going to be taking on the Maine Celtics, who are much higher up. I think they're 4-2 in that division. So we're going to have the opportunity to go see players like Marquise Noel and Freeman Liberty.
Love those guys.
Yeah.
I actually have a question for you. Do you think that maybe the fans are a little bit to blame for this, like, Grady Dick narrative that you're thinking about right now? Because like, was there maybe too much hype put on him coming out of the draft, and like, you know, him kind of playing into it almost? And like, you gotta look at from his perspective as well, right? Like, you're going to a Raptors team that finished 500. Scotty Barnes looked like maybe he was even going to be a bust. There was almost no progression in year two, right? Freddie just walks, and then you get Dennis Schroeder as your backup plan. Like, I'm sure him looking at the situation, he's like, these guys need me, man. like, I'm the savior. I'm the shooting savior. They don't have that, right? And like the fans are like, yeah, we need it. Like, we need you, buddy.
I see where you're coming from with that. I fucking hope not. I hope that's not what he was running through his head coming into this. I mean, you have not shot an NBA 3 up until just a few weeks ago. So like that can't be it. Like there's a whole lot more to it, and we're definitely going to get into it. And I just hope the fans are allowed to think what they want to think and be able to react. I mean, that's just part of growing in the NBA as well, is like being able to block out social media and what all the fans and what all the Toronto media is saying. Like, at the end of the day, we don't really fucking know what goes into this, right? I mean, like, sure, we can have an outside perspective, but we can only speculate, and that's all we can really do. And that is why I'm really excited to be able to bring you this exclusive footage into the G League as well. And this is going to be a great, like I mentioned, a great sneak peek of what we have to come later on this year when it comes down to heading down to the Sunshine State. And all of this is possible with our good friends, our sponsors, first of which, Cryer Media. Visit Cryer.co for all things DB2 and sports-related content. By Indestructible, visit Indestructible online and use Down by Two for 15% off your next order. And then, of course, our friends over at Yup Beer. There they are. Yup, yup, yup. Visit yupbeer.com to find a location near you, now available in grocery stores and beer stores across Ontario. So that's it. That's our little preamble here. Let's just switch you over to our coverage at Scotiabank Arena as we were live to be able to give you media coverage and behind the scenes footage, chats with the coaching staff, and everything else in between this weekend as the Raptors 905 took on the Maine Celtics. Enjoy. Here we are, Scotiabank Arena for the Raptors 905 against the Maine Celtics. Josh Elijah.
Jesse McKay.
How surreal is it to be here right now? This is going to be a packed out stadium. 19,000 screaming kids. This is going to be wild at 11 a.m. in the morning.
This is crazy. This is the earliest I've ever been here. And looking to have a good turnout. Lots of kids here, lots of families.
This brings me back to my OBA days, going out for tournaments. And right after you eat breakfast, the next thing you know, you're on the court playing ball. Yeah. Just looking forward to today's game. There are a couple notable injuries, one of which is Marquise Noel, but instead we now have Grady Dick on the roster. We had a chance to catch up with coach before the game, wants to see more spacing as well and a lot of facilitating. But what are you looking to see out of Grady Dick today as they take on the Celtics?
Just building out on his last game. He's looked pretty good since he came down. We're just looking for him to space the floor and just keep improving on his game, man. That's what he needs to do, and get more reps in. And that's what this opportunity provides.
Last game he put up 22. The previous game before that he put up 2 points. So we're looking to see a great effort out of Grady Dick as well. We're going to catch up with you after halftime. Cheers.
Assists are looking good. What scenarios are you going to want to see more of going into today, especially with Marquise out?
We've been pretty good a paint touch team. We're finding a way to score in the paint right now pretty well without shooting it as well as we can. Like, we can shoot it a lot better than we have been. And the assists are going to look even better if we can create better spacing. When we're spaced well, we can attack the paint even more aggressively. And then when teams start to collapse because we have such great drivers, then the assists are even going to go up more because we're going to find these kickouts. So we're trying to... Has our shot selection from three been perfect? By no means. But we know if we can get even better, like feet set, catch and shoot threes, that number's going to go up. And the pressure will put on the defense where now they have to make a decision. Either guarding the three-point line or guarding the paint will help too. So that should help the assist and help the paint attack. So spacing's been a big point of emphasis.
Yeah. Well, like Kevin O'Banner had some people thinking about that last game between the threes he can hit and the work he can do in the post. What did you see from him in that game, providing a lot off the bench?
Yeah, he's super versatile, and his one-on-one defense is really good too. His offensive rebounding is really good. From the start of the year, we've talked about our team's versatility, and he's kind of like epitomizes that. He can play any of the front court positions, 3, 4, or 5. He can score on the block, he can drive it. So he's somebody that we'll throw the ball to against the right matchups, especially a team today like Maine who switches everything. It's a good opportunity to get him a deep catch against a guard. And I don't think there's a lot of guards in the G League who can kind of handle him down there.
Last question.
Obviously you have Grady back for the team today. What are you looking for out of him in this second set with the team?
Yeah, to keep up where he left off, his second half of the last game was awesome. He was flying all over the place, sprinting back on defense, getting deflections, getting blocks, got a couple of really tough rebounds, shot coming around, attacking the paint with so much force. It looked like the first few halves he was kind of not as aggressive as he's been with the parent club. And that happens to, we've had a bunch of assignments who do the same thing over the years. And then they realize, oh, I can start putting it in my own hands. And he found the right balance of aggression without taking away from the team. So he's turned the corner, I think, and then today would be a great opportunity to even take the next step and keep growing from where he's been.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Can you talk about the fight of your team, everything that happened in this game alone? Can you kind of talk about the character you saw from them?
Yeah, I mean, we have such a deep team of talent, but such a deep team of, like, great people as well. So everybody kind of, like, pulled their socks up. We had, like, some really high-minute guys today. And everybody had to play big minutes, and everybody contributed who was able to step on the court. Even, like, Jalen was supposed to be questionable, probably wasn't supposed to play at all. Didn't play in the first half because we were trying to, and when we just ran out of bodies, he gave us some spot minutes. Made some great defensive rotations, some great, and like, he was somebody who, like, his mindset was, I'm not even checking in today. So just to be able to do that is a huge compliment to him. He stays ready, so he doesn't have to get ready. He's so mentally locked in. He's been in the league 3 different times. He's such a smart guy, so having him out there was awesome.
So,
Coach,
you saw a different level of defense, I think, today. You guys made a good run to start that third 20-8 run. Really set the tone for you guys. What did you see out there defensively that the guys kind of changed
the last few games? We definitely locked in more in the half court, but I would make the argument a lot of it was the offense too. We came into half with 17 turnovers, and they were just running on us every time. So the first half was all about the possession battles. We turned the ball over a ton, and they got a bunch of offensive rebounds. And if you do that, if you're not getting shots and they're getting multiple shots in every possession, I think we took 35 shots, they took 52, something like that in the first half. So it's tough to battle back from that. But the second half, we were able to take control of the ball a bit better and a little bit better job on the defensive glass. And if we do that, we're actually a pretty good half-court defensive team. It's just if you're giving teams run out of dunks, it's going to be pretty tough to guard, right?
Coach, obviously, to start the game, great. Not the start that you would have wanted to. A couple turnovers, a couple fouls, but obviously in that second half, you really came to life and was one of the key members on the court. Can you just talk about the game and that transition from, you know, struggling but not getting down on himself and being able to come back from that?
Yeah, I would say it was the last few minutes of the first half is when I really started to turn the corner. Floor spacing is so important for us. We talked about it pregame, getting to the corners and opening up the court. And I thought he did an unbelievable job of sprinting to the corners early in the game. But then he kind of buried himself in the corners after that. And he's too good of a player to get stuck in the corners. So we made a conscious effort of, okay, in transition, if you sprint to the corner, get to the corner. But after that, you're going to have to find your way back out to get more involved. And he was able to do that. And he was able to come flying off screens, both off ball and on ball, and make plays out of that.
How important is Javon to what you guys are doing this season here and hopefully moving forward?
Yeah, you always need players on the court who can collapse the defense and touch the paint. And Bond is an unbelievable paint touch player. He finds his way to get downhill. And his shot has come along so well that now he can do both. So he can shoot if they go under, or if they go over the top, he's collapsing into the paint and you trust him to make the right read every time, whether that's a finish or a kick out. And then to pair him with guys like Kobe and Ron and other guys who can be paint touch players as well and have them off the ball, now you're really in trouble when the ball kicks out to him and he's got an advantage. So if you're sprinting at him, he's going right by you. If you close short, he's knocking down the three. So he's a heck of a player for us, and he's somebody who kind of creates a lot of advantages.
Congrats on the big win today and your season high performance. You had some ups and downs in this game. You had another injury. I know you've been struggling with that this year, but can you just take us through how you managed to not only finish the game but put up your best performance of the season?
I gotta give it a shout out to my team. I feel like they believe in me. The coach believed in me. So I just gave it all I had out there. I didn't want to quit. So I just left it all out there on the floor.
And the Raptors said to you, like, this is what we want you to work on this year to get you up with them?
Yeah, just honestly being a leader, hearing my voice. I'm kind of a quiet guy, so I don't really say too much, but just being a leader and always talking. Playing more of like a point guard role because I'm pretty like undersized as a two, so
How do you feel in that spot? And has Marquise helped or given you tips, obviously being out, but taking over that spot, sort of?
Definitely. He's a big help to him because, you know, he's one of those point guards. At the end of his career, he's going to be a great guy, almost Hall of Famer. So taking in a little tips and he's giving me, and I just feel like just me being me is going to be challenging, but at the same time, I got it.
Another big win, another big game for you, and congrats on the first victory in the season. Off the bench again, immediate impact. Can you just take us through the story of the game, the ups and the downs, and obviously the big second half?
I think just shout out to them kids. They brought a lot of energy, especially at 11 o'clock in the morning, and they had the place rocking. I know a couple of times we couldn't even hear ourselves, so kudos to the kids for sure, and it'll be a delight to have them back at our games.
It was obviously a really concerning moment when Ochi went down and had to be taken off like that. What was said at that moment to try and stay focused on the game?
You know, just play for him. And I know a couple guys had injuries, and, you know, Ron and Cole. So, you know, when one man goes down, they have to be the next man up. So just to try to get a win and, you know, win for the kids and the crowd. And, you know, so just putting it all on the line and, you know, living with the results.
Finally for you, what was it like playing in Scotiabank Arena for the first time, NBA Arena?
I know, I felt good. I felt that I belonged, but, you know, just taking it one step at a time. We got the win, but there's always room for improvement. So, you know, just trying to stay humble, you know, not too high, not too low, and, you know, just come back to work on Sunday.
Obviously a really up and down game for you guys, but that first win is so important. How did you enjoy today's experience with all the fans?
No, it was a great experience, very loud. Kids very loud. I think we stuck to paying attention to detail. Very loud, so we were definitely locked in on the huddles, locked in. Everybody's locked in on what I was play calling when I was coming down the floor. So I think we did a very good job of staying poised, staying locked in, and got a good W.
17 turnovers in the first half, I think just 5 in the second half. What changed in the game?
That was the main focus at halftime, just cleaning up turnovers and knowing that we could break away and get the lead. So we focused on that and came down and got pretty good solid possessions each and every play. Minus a few, but we'll live with those.
What was it like working with Brady on this one? Coach said that you were finding him in the right spots.
Yeah.
You were leading him and making sure.
For sure. Just want to keep him going. I had a few plays where I feel like I could have broke my man down, but he was hot. So I want to just keep feeding him, keep him going, keep him warm. And he's a great player. So like once he found his shot, making the right plays, staying locked in defensively. He can do whatever he wants out here.
Congrats on the win. What's it like when you got thrown into the fire basically when you first got here? What's your mindset like when you come into a team and you're expected to produce immediately?
Yeah, I'm locked in with the staff. Came in, locked in on the plays, watching film. I'm still learning as I'm going. I'm still learning the plays, still learning teammates and everything. But as games go on, as practices go on, I get a better feel for everybody out there. So knowing how coach. I'm throwing in, I'm running a one. So knowing how coach wants to run his offense, that's a very important job to win basketball games. So learn as I go, learn as I fly. But at the end of the day, it's basketball. I know what players need to be. I've watched film on every guy on the team, and I watch film on the other team. So I think that's helped me out big time.
Well, there you have it. First win for the Raptors, 905, as they knock off the Celtics, 125-114. Freeman Liberty with the game of the season for him, 31 points. Grady Dick knocking down 21 points as well. What did you like out of Freeman Liberty's game and how he was able to get some of his season highs even today?
Yeah, he was all over the court on offense, defense, really spacing the floor for his teammates.
Lockdown defense.
Locked in defense for real. And honestly, just finding the right guys in the right places and making the right plays.
Definitely acting more of a floor general as well at certain points. And his three-point shooting was spectacular as well.
Yeah, and Grady Dick put on a great performance. What did you think about Grady's performance?
I mean, a little shaky to start off with. I mean, a few turnovers right out the gates, not the start that the Raptors wanted, but made some adjustments at halftime. And really, it was all about that floor spacing that coach was talking about before the game as well, which was able to find him some better looks from beyond the arc as opposed to just hanging out in the corner. Kobe Simmons as well, an incredible game, just a rebound shy of a triple-double, just an all-around team performance as well to be able to give the Raptors 905. their first win of the season. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, follow along for all NBA content throughout the regular season. For signing off here for Down by Two from Cryer Media. Cheers. Cheers.
To the Blue Hotel. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality, theme-based with special guests, the Blue Hotel Hotline, and every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.